Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Inhale your freshness, I await the day I can stand in your presence. Gave me your next mark, it's part of my essence. I look to the sky cause you're gave us your word in the form of the Bible. To you there's no equal, you have no rivals. Without you, life is lifeless, no vitals. Worship you and you alone. Your character and nature, they don't change. Let everything that has breath praise your name. With you, nothing's impossible. Almighty power, your kingdom come, God. We await the hour. Created the cosmos, the stars and the heavens. Made man in your image, the rest of the seven. You're always on time, like a metronome. My shepherd died with me when the pressure is on. I know the nation, put the Christ in your place. The creation over the creator, a spit in your face. But now we, your sons and daughters, we call you Abba, Tod, Abba, Baba, Mukata, hallelujah. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always contain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always contain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. You saw fit to give me life in the form of a baby, then placed me in the care of a wonderful lady who raised me against the odds. Promise we had dozens. Father, right there for me when my first one wasn't. So many times I could have died for the reason I'm alive. Through the sex and violence of the hood, you helped me survive. You snatched me by the hand and gave me a new start. So now I serve you with my whole mind and heart. What others didn't see, you saw beneath the surface. You opened my eyes up and gave me a new purpose. Blessed me with a beautiful wife and kids, with food, a job, a beautiful place. The lair, cast my worries on you when things are narrow. Know you watching over me if you got the eyes on the sparrow. See, I put down a source and went to the source. Every since then, my whole life has been on course. Make me a man after your heart like David. And I'ma rep your Torah and your name is sacred. Shows your love when you let your son die to atone for me. It's enough to make a grown man cry. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you save me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're. I trust you, God, cause you don't change. Through the years, you stay the same, you always maintain. I know you see me right out the flames. Cause of this, I praise your name, you're.
Shalom, family. Shalom, shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, I'm your host, and I'm your servant, Georgia Johnson. Today, family, is May the 28th, 2013. We're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word tonight, and we're going to go ahead and begin speaking on Torah Truth. What about Yahushua? Now, this is episode number 3, but we're going to bring out more truth in the Father's Word pertaining to those who want to push a flesh message versus those who want to keep it the Father's Word and take it spiritual, not leaving out Yahushua. So I welcome each and every one of you to the third installment of Toward Truth, What About Yahushua? Today, family, is going to be a very, very interesting show. I did a lot of switching around, as you guys know, and I pray that you guys had a chance to listen to the first two episodes of Toward Truth, What About It, Yahushua? I tell you, family, we're having a little bit of problems on my end, but I sent you guys a little message on the chat room I know you guys know what I'm saying, so just bear with us today. We're going to get this more truth out. We're going to speak the truth of the Father's Word. And, okay, I was just reading the chat line. Hey, Shalom, Sister Diane, Lioness 076, and guest. Okay, this was one of those last-minute postings, but should have given everyone enough time to get here. We'll probably have some late sojourners come along with us, late family members. It's all right. We have the archives. I want to make sure that everything pertaining to the truth of our Father's words gets published. Okay, so we're going to have the show regardless. And I'll be honest with you, family. I had to push this show up because there is so much. Just a little bit won't do it. There is so much. If the Father will, we might have a show again tomorrow. I go by the time clock of my grandson because I'm watching him. And, you know, that leaves me up for shows if he goes to bed early. If not, we got to have our lesson another day. But I am so glad that each and every one of you guys are here today. And what I'm going to do right now, before we get started, I'm going to bring on, I have a special reader, a special family member here tonight with me. So, Shalom, area code 916, Sister Cookie, Shalom. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear. Everything sounds good. You want to say hello to the family?
Hello, family. I'm Sister Cookie.
How long have you been with us, Sister Cookie? Tell a little bit about yourself.
This is May 28th. I learned the truth about, I want to say, almost 4 months ago through my best friend, Keisha. We've been friends for 20 years. So I actually heard about this years ago, but it kind of just went out the other ear and stuff. I think the way it was presented to me at the time didn't really deliver right, so, you know, but when my best friend told me about it and started showing me, you know, DVDs and scriptures and stuff like that, then it made sense and stuff. So I'm glad to be part of the family. I'm very thankful, very excited knowing that I am his Yahuwah's child, one of the chosen people. I've always thought it was the Jews and, you know, stuff like that. We were Gentiles and stuff. So I'm really happy and very glad in my heart that I learned the truth.
Wonderful. Yeah. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, I'm going to ask you, do you want to lead our opening prayer over the scriptures today or no? Because I know this you might be a little scared, so I'm going to ask you.
No, not yet.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. I'm just glad to get other family members to help me read the scriptures. So I'm going to ask everyone, if you lift up your hands, and let's just thank our Father for his preserved word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your preserved, set-apart word. Thank you for opening our eyes to your truth. And thank you for allowing your truth to be spoken via Blog Talk Radio, where we can reach the scattered sheep of the house of Israel that are spanning the four corners of the earth among the other nations. Father, we thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you that our eyes now have the scales removed. We thank you that we hear, and that gives us edifying of the set-apart spirit. And those dry bones are definitely waking up, Father. Father, we ask for a blessing over all your word tonight so that the set-apart spirit, the Ruach, will flow. Anyone who is coming out here to hear the truth, that they may receive the truth. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We ask for protection over all airwaves, over any listeners, over myself, over my mouth, over my mind. Father, we know that your word is truth, and we know that regardless of what has been placed into the English Bible, whatever English word that may have thrown someone with their interpretation differently from what the truth of the set-apart spirit allows us to be revealed today, Father, we ask that those chords of delusion and mind control be broken. We ask that they have no power over the truth of your word. And I come against any evil, any spiritual wickedness, any person who may be using technology, so forth, to hinder your word. The cords, the bands will be broken and shriveled up, and we send all those powers, all those entities, all those spirits to dry, desolate places. And, Father, we just thank you for the power. Father, we say in Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, huah. All right, family, we're ready to start. Sister Cookie, how about you? You ready to begin, sister?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
can you hear
well,
me?
Family, yes, I can. You're loud and clear. I did not mute you. I'm going to leave you on. I'm going to allow you to mute yourself if you know that something's going on in your house. If not, I'll mute you, but I'm leaving your mic open.
Okay.
All right. And family, what I would like to do first and foremost is just make sure that everybody knows that this is just an addendum. I switched around some shows, but this is an addendum to Torah Truth. What about Yahushua? It's just an addendum, okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to give everyone the first link, only because whatever they're doing, it just started when I started up this show. I got kicked off the chat room and said someone else signed in as me. The same old family. But I want to give everybody the first link where we'll be reading from. And then this is from the KJV. And you can go ahead and hit the link again to whatever scripture that I may give. Go ahead and just put it in and get right to the scripture. For those of you who are listening by phone, I would definitely and clearly say what scripture I'm reading from. Because we know that right now many people have just not heard the truth. They have learned under the scribes and the Pharisees pertaining to the law, omitting Yahushua. Omitting Yahushua. Today we're going to be getting into Yahushua. Okay, we're going to be getting into the purpose of Yahushua versus the law keepers, the Torah keepers, because we're not saying that the law was done away with. We're saying that Yahushua came to fulfill. He was a fulfillment, okay, of the old covenant. That's what we're saying. That's what Scripture says. So we're going to get that understanding today, and I'm not going to give you too much of an opening besides that, because all I say is make sure that you are paying attention, make sure that you're opening up your English Bible. Okay, the scriptures, open them up, and let's see what thus says Yahuwah. Now, I want to read to everybody from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. One verse. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of Yahuwah, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Just meditate on that for a second, you know. Just meditate that on it. Most people read that and be like, okay, and they'll go to the next verse, not understanding that this one particular verse in Ecclesiastes 5:1, this one verse says so much. I'm going to break it down for you a little bit, just in case, for those who don't get it. Remember, we're talking about the law, which is the Torah, the first five books of Moses. And then we got to also include Yahushua. What about him? Okay, so it tells us, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of the Most High. When you get ready to go to do anything dealing with the Most High, and for us, we're doing his word. We're reading his word. We're coming to the truth of his word. Okay, it says, and be more ready to hear. Okay, if someone is reading to you scripture, you should have your scriptures open as well, and you should be listening. Okay? Make sure that those precepts are aligning. Make sure that they're getting a little bit here and a little bit there, but not too little to where the correct understanding is not given. Make sure that they are rightly dividing the word. Okay, so it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of the Most High, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Well, many people will say, what evil? What evil? Because it says, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices of fools. Okay, the fools up there. For they consider not that they do evil. They really don't know. They don't consider it. I wouldn't say they don't know. But they're doing this evil, according to our Father's word. So we have to ask, what evil? And what I would like to say is the teachings of the flesh. Because in order to give the sacrifices or to the sacrifice of fools, something is not right. Something is being done. It's a work. Okay? And, of course, some of these things that are being done, yeah, they're prescribed in the Torah. But are we still supposed to do them if you're rightly dividing the word and hearing what Yahuwah has to say? Okay? Now, in Ecclesiastes 5 and 1, that's a very powerful verse that we must understand. We have to understand it. What is written within pertaining to our nation in Scripture must be understood fully before we speak or act. If you're not going to understand the truth of the word and you're trying to say something or you're trying to do something, some type of work that you feel you need to do, look, don't be so hasty to justify yourself with the works of the law, of the flesh, okay? And where I want to take you guys with that, just a little bit more understanding, would be Galatians 5 and 4. If you go to Galatians 5 and 4, and we're going to go there, okay, I kind of wish I had written all the scriptures out because my computer is definitely acting wacky. But nonetheless, I got the links for you. I'll give you this link as well since I had to work so hard to get it just now. But when you go to Galatians 5, verse 4, it reads, Yahushua is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, I would like to know how to get around that verse. You know, those who push the law, the scribes and Pharisees, the ones who basically stay within the first five books of Moses, and they go out a little bit here and there, but they're really focusing everything on the first five books of Moses. It tells us in Galatians 5:4, once again, Yahushua, the Redeemer, the Savior, Yahushua is become of no effect unto you, whosoever, whether male, female, child, adult, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, we're going to give more understanding to all this, but, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if they're overlooking these verses or what's going on. I really don't know. But when we get into the Father's word, it's clear. It's all written. It's just a matter of, do you want to know the truth? Don't switch off this show because I might say something that will change what you believe to be true. Don't switch off for that because I'm reading the Father's word, so I have to go back to, who do you love more, man or the Most High? Okay, we're just going to read the word. So today's topic matter will cover the fleshly understanding of Scripture pertaining to water baptism as well as to the law compared to Yahushua's spiritual baptism and the set-apart spirit. Okay, that's what we're going to cover today, if we can. Let's say that because I do have quite a few scriptures, and if you're not ready to really study and show yourself approved just by reading the Father's word, you might not be right for this particular lesson. As a matter of fact, all my lessons, because I'm going to go through some scripture. It can't be just what I say or what I believe. We have to go to the Father and see what he says, and then we can get that full understanding. So we're going to get a little understanding about the feast keeping of the Torah with spiritual understanding. In other words, flesh versus the set-apart spirit of Yahushua. That's what you're going to be getting today. Now, this is just another episode. This is another lesson that we've been doing pertaining to the Torah keepers or the lawgivers, however they wanted to word themselves, or even those who get on corners with megaphones and all they understand is the flesh. They're either a scribe or Pharisee. Currently today, they've been taught by a scribe or Pharisee, and they don't know the truth of the word. They're allowing the blind to lead the blind. Or they are someone who has become lazy to the Father's word and will not flip open not one page of the scripture to see if whoever is teaching the Father's word or man's word. Now, what category they fit in, that's up to you to decide, but I'm just going to give the Father's word. So we're going to understand which one is preferred by Yahuwah, spiritual or flesh, spirituality, the spiritual understanding, the set-apart spirit, or is it the flesh? We're going to get that understanding today, and how do we know that this is the truth of wisdom and understanding pertaining to Yahuwah? How do we know that this is really what he wants us to understand? We're going to cover those topics tonight, okay? Now, first, I want to start by looking at two verses in the Old Covenant that proclaim both John the Baptist being the forerunner for Yahushua. So we're going to be looking at verses that cover John the Baptist as well as Yahushua, okay? And believe it or not, we're going to the Old Covenant. A lot of people may not know it, but yes, in the Old Covenant, it was spoken of both of them. John the Baptist would be the forerunner. He was going to make the way, make the path straight for Yahushua. So we're going to go to Isaiah 40. Everyone, if you don't mind, I'm going to give you guys the link, and I really do pray that you guys are going to open up with me and that we're going to get some understanding in Isaiah 40. Now, Isaiah 40, it has, 31 verses, and it's not very long, but it's a good bit. I'm going to give everybody the link to the chat line, and those who are listening, turn open Isaiah 40, okay, Isaiah chapter 40. And I pray that everyone is paying attention, writing the scriptures down, because you're going to run across many people across Facebook, across Twitter, social sites, YouTube videos, maybe in your community, who are going to tell you, the law says, God says, and you got to be able to back up the truth with scripture. You have to be able to tell them the truth or at least give them correction. Give them correction. Okay, yeah, I know that this is what the Torah says. I know this is in the Torah, but did you know? Okay, so you got to have some scripture to be able to battle. That's our weapon. You know, we're not fighting with weapons that are carnal, but spiritual. Okay, so we have to get with the scripture, get back spiritual, and get into our Father's word. So we're going to go to Isaiah 40. And sister, I'm going to have you read that for me, please.
Alrighty. You guys can hear me really good here?
Yes, you're fine.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith Yahuwah. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of Yahuwah's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahuwah, make straight in the desert a highway for our Father. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of Yahuwah shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahuwah hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass witherwith, the flower fadeth, because the spirit of Yahuwah bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Father shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your father. Behold, the father will come with strong hand, and his army shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work, and his work before him. He shall feed in his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently and shall gently lead those that are young, that are with young, Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his land, and minted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, awed the hills in a balance?
Sister, read that again, please. Read that 12 again.
Okay. Who hath measured with waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with the span, and comprehended
the... Okay, read it again. Read it again, sister, for what it says.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, awed the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of Yahuwah, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taken up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken father? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. What that is, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And
Read it again, sister. Read it again, 22.
Verse 22? Okay. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof, are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them. And they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith Yahuwah, or the Holy One? Lift up your hands on high, and behold.
Say it again.
Verse 25? 26.
Yes.
Lift up your eyes on high.
There you go.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Father, and my judgment is passed over from Yahuwah? Hast thou not known? hast thou not heard that the everlasting Father, our creator of the ends of earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Father shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
All right. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. It's beautifully done. All right, family. Now, Isaiah 40. We just read Isaiah 40. And, you know, this is a message that I think a lot of people just overlook. I have to go through it again. I'm sorry. I have to go through it again. I want to make sure that it is embedded in each of your minds, that you're taking time to fully understand Isaiah 40. So, like I said, this is a learning. If you want to learn the truth, we've got to read the word with understanding. Verse 1 reads, comfort ye my people. So he's speaking to Israel. Saideth your father Yahuwah, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of Yahuwah's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, and we know that this is John the Baptist, says, prepare ye the way of Yahushua. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Redeemer. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough plains plain. And the glory of Yahushua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Remember, he's going to come. Every eye will see him when he comes. For the mouth of Yahuwah hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Let me put my little, hold up a second, fam. I got to get my little thing up. Okay, verse 7. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit, the set apart spirit of Yahushua, blows upon it. We're talking about the end times here. You know, when the breath comes for the lost sheep of the house of Israel to wake up, okay, this is a different breath. This breath right here is burning them up. This is end time message, family. So he says, the grass withereth, the flower faded, but the word of our Father shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold, your father Yahuwah. Behold, Yahushua will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. Remember, he's coming back to bring the houses, the dwelling places. Some people call it the New Jerusalem. And let me go do something. I want to make sure. I have something extra in my notes here. Let me just see. Okay, so that's for another one. Okay. Well, anyhow, let's go back here. Let's get it good, because we're talking about Yahushua here. It says his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. Remember, we're getting ready to get regathered, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scale, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the set-apart spirit of Yahushua, or, being his counselor, had taught him? And the reason why I wanted to make sure that got read was because many people believe that Yahushua was being taught by somebody. They believed that Yahushua was just a regular person, but he was chosen just like Moses, Abraham, Jacob. Go on with it. No, no, no. He wasn't taught by any man. It says, who had directed the set-apart spirit of Yahushua, or being his counselor, had taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations, and these are the heathen nations, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will he liken the Most High, or Yahushua? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workmen melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and cast silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Who was in the beginning? The Word, right? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. Yeah, that's right. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Set apart one. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Go back to John 1. The Word was in the beginning. He was with Yahuwah. That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from Yahushua, and my judgment is passed over from my father? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting Father, Yahuwah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Very important, verse 31. But they that wait upon Yahushua shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Why is that important, family? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the scribes and the Pharisees today will tell you, you got to run, you got to flee, you got to do this, you got to do that. And we keep telling you over and over and over in the Word, it says nothing but wait upon him. And that's what verse 31 says. It says, but they that wait upon Yahushua shall renew their strength. So that was one of the that's one of the chapters that I wanted to read from the get-go. We're going to build up here. Next one we're going to go to is Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Everyone, if you have it, you should have it. Go ahead and open up. We're going to hit Malachi 3 real quick. Malachi 3. Okay. I'm giving everybody a little bit of time to get there. And, sister, I'm going to start off reading this one, okay, and then I'm going to get you for the next one because I got to use up some of my vocal cords for a second. Okay, let's go to Malachi 3. Remember, we're talking about the Torah, the law, versus what about Yahushua? You know, it seems like there's a conflict. Seems like people, they just, when they read the scriptures, they don't understand which comes first and which comes last. Which supersedes which, the law or Yahushua? They don't understand this. Let's go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3 reads, "Behold, I will send my messenger." Now, we're talking about John the Baptist again here. It's Malachi 3. It's in there. And it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahushua, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the coveted, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahuwah of hosts." Now, we're reading out of Malachi 3. We know that when it says, "I will send my messenger," don't get confused with Yahushua off the bat. No, no, it's talking about John the Baptist. And it says, "And Yahushua, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple." We know that our bodies are the temple's family. We know that our bodies are the temple. When we go in the new covenant, we understand that upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahushua, when he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, that the Comforter came to us and is now dwelling within us. Okay, so let's get it straight. It says, "Whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." And that just means that the word "even" is just like basically saying the same thing as the verse before, "even" or "especially." Okay, it says the messenger of the covenant. Who's the messenger of the covenant? Well, we always talk about old covenant versus new covenant. The old covenant was of flesh. The new covenant is of the set-apart spirit. So it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahushua, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahuwah, creator of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and as silver and gold, that they may offer unto Yahuwah an offering in righteousness." So we know that this is something that is future prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. But what's important is it tells us that during this time when Yahushua returns and he is refining, that the sons of Levi at that point, that they may offer, they're going to be refined and purged, and then that these sons of Levi may offer unto Yahuwah an offering in righteousness, because everything before this, before Yahushua returns to regather us, is as nothing. The fathers say, do away with it. We've been going over the scripture, family. Go through the other lessons that we have done in 1 and 2 of this series and get the understanding. Israel sinned. We didn't keep the covenant. We didn't keep we did not obey, okay? We did not keep the Torah. We did not keep it, okay? So it tells us, "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahuwah, as in the days of old, and as in former years." You see? These verses, somebody keeps forgetting to read these verses. They think they got to do something now. They think that the Father just overlooked everything that we did wrong pertaining to sacrifices and days that were supposed to be set apart for us. We messed up, family. And the Father let us know within the Word. We're going to get to it in a second. We're going to really get it. Because right here he's telling us that, and I'm going to read it again just so y'all get it. Verse 3 and 4, it says, and talking about Yahushua, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to Yahuwah an offering in righteousness, because everything before then is not righteous. It says in verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahuwah, as in the days of old, when we were given the covenant, when we were given the Torah, when these things were given to us, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppose the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, said Yahuwah, creator of hosts, for I am Yahuwah, I change not. Ain't nothing here changing. If he says that at this time he's going to purge them, it's not going to be till this time they're purged, and everything they give, the offerings, will be righteous, because it ain't righteous now. So people trying to keep certain things. Let's go further, because y'all just think I'm talking. We're going to go further. It tells us in verse, I'm going to read 6 again. For I am Yahuwah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. And I'm going to stop there, because I want everybody to get the full understanding of what the word ordinances is speaking of. I'm going to stop for a quick second. When you go look up the word ordinances in the Strong Concordance, I'll give it to you. I was just going to read it, but I'm going to give it to you, because I want to make sure that you guys are looking at the same thing I'm looking at. Because, see, we got to know, what is the ordinances? What is the ordinances? Here we go, fam. I'm going to give it to you guys. And for those of you who are by listening by phone, don't worry. I'm gonna read it. You're going to get the understanding. Okay, this right here is your link for the Blue Letter Strong Concordance, Hebrew and Greek. Let's go back. Let's get the understanding. When we're reading out of Malachi 3. We're at verse 7. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. So let's find out what these ordinances are. If we go down to the ordinances, you're going to get Hebrews 27:06. We're speaking about the ordinances because we didn't keep them. You're going to look down there, and it's going to give you a bunch of different things. One of the things I just highlighted, the outline of biblical usage, is statutes, ordinances, limits, something prescribed, something due. We didn't keep it, whatever it was. Let's find out what it was. It says, if you go to the Authorized Version translation counts of what this word means, it'll give you different words which mean the same thing. We didn't keep the ordinances, okay? It says statutes, ordinances, decree, do, law. I'm going to say it so y'all get it. Portion, custom, appointed, commandments. Talk about the ordinances here. We didn't keep them. Let's find out a little bit more. When you go to the genus lexicon help, it tells you an appointed law, a statute, an ordinance. Okay, a custom observed as though it were a law. I don't think you can get any more clearer than that, family. I really don't. So let's go back up. Now, let me go back up there. We're at Malachi 3, and I'm going to read verse 7 again. I just want to give that to you guys because, you see, they got a lot of people trying to keep some stuff they ain't supposed to be keeping. Let's go look at it. Okay, Malachi 3, verse 7. I'm going to read it to you. Remember, the Father says, I change not. He says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. You haven't kept the law. We have not kept them, our forefathers. We didn't keep them. He says, to return unto me. But does he mean to do all this right now as far as keeping the Torah that was given to us? We're going to find out, family, because some people don't know. So it says, return unto me. And I will return unto you, saith Yahuwah, creator of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob Yahuwah? yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith, said Yahuwah, Creator of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, because we've robbed him. Now, look, right now, many of us are waiting on blessings. Many of us don't understand what's going on. Many of us think that we're so righteous because we wear the tassels or we wear the whatever garb there is, or that we open the Torah and say we're Torah keepers, and we go on street corners telling people about themselves, and God said they're quoting not the Torah, and they're putting heavy burdens on people, when the truth is so beautiful, the truth in Yahushua, the only begotten Son of the Father that was given for the redemption of our sins. It's so clear and easy. They got people right now going to different cold bodies of water in the middle of winter, dipping themselves under, thinking that now you're right. Everything's good. You're going according to the Father's word and not fully understanding Yahushua. These are the flesh thinkers. That's all the scribes and Pharisees were doing. They were with the flesh Torah. When they, in all actuality, said, well, the Torah supersedes Yahushua. Or they'll go back to Matthew's, 27:28, where it said that the scribes and Pharisees had told the Romans that, yeah, his brothers came and stole his body. Because they knew that when they went to monitor the sepulcher where Yahushua was buried, that when the angel came and removed it, he told the women, the Marys, hey, y'all go on in there. He's not there. He's already resurrected. And they knew that. But what they said was, we'll say that his brothers stole him. Okay? They were going to bribe people, and they were going to pursue after those watchers that they had standing guard at Yahushua's sepulcher. Because the whole point is, many of these leave Yahushua out of the equation. They were, in essence, saying that he's just anybody else. He didn't resurrect. He's not who he said he was. He doesn't have the power. And they're not understanding. And they will stick to the law, 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 and scream the law, 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 when Yahushua made everything spiritual, where it didn't do away with the law or the prophets or anything. But he came as a fulfillment of the Old Testament, overcoming the flesh and bringing the spiritual. Many people don't get this, but let's go. Let's go there. It tells us in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. It says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Creator of Hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahuwah, Creator of Hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahuwah, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve Yahuwah, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? We kept the law. What profit is that? Remember, Jeremiah, what is it, 16:19, I think it is, where it says, the Gentiles are going to come to us in the end, and they're going to say that our fathers have taught us lies, where there's no vanity, where there's vanity, and there's no profit. We're talking about our people here, because they've learned nothing of the scribes and the Pharisees. They've learned a lie. It's not the truth of the Father's word. These are our people who knew not the Father. They think they know the Father, even though they are Hebrews, knowing that they're Hebrews. It's a whole other matter when you get the ones in churchianity, but when you get the people who come out from the world, but then they try to do something of works. they try to, you see, in order to get set apart, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to put my garbs on, I got to say God said, read the Torah, condemn people, I got to do all this. And that is not what Scripture is speaking of. But we're gonna keep going, because I want to make sure that everybody hears me loud and clear. There's no stuttering in my voice. You know what I'm talking about, because I'm reading the Father's Word. So let's go there. I'm going to go back to verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, said Yahuwah. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve Yahuwah. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, his law, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahuwah, creator of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work with wickedness, they do the work of wickedness, they work wickedness, are set up. Yea, they that tempt Yahuwah are even delivered. Then they that fear Yahuwah spake often one to another, and Yahuwah hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahuwah and that thought upon his name. Because you see, when you read the Father's word, if he said to do away with some, you're supposed to do away with it. We're going to get there. Some people think they got to keep certain things. Some people think that the Father's talking about the garments. They go to what Deuteronomy, what, 22 or so forth, where it says a woman ought not to wear the garments that pertain to a man. Look, men weren't wearing them doggone pants. So get off of this fleshly thinking. Get to the truth. Come spiritual. It says in verse 16, then they that fear Yahuwah spake often to one another, and Yahuwah hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was for them that feared Yahuwah and that thought upon his name. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, said the Creator of hosts. And they shall be mine. Somebody's beeping through, so I'm hoping y'all hear me, said the Creator of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Verse 18, then shall ye return. None of this is going to happen until Yahushua comes, right? Then shall ye return. Okay, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahuwah and him that serveth him not. And I want to highlight that part. Somebody is serving the Most High and somebody is not serving him. And this is very, very, very important when we get to another verse. I'm going to quote back to this. I'm going to read it again. 18. It says, and I'm reading out of Malachi 3, it says, then shall ye return and discern between righteousness and wicked, between him that serveth Yahuwah and him that serveth him not. Now, many are not understanding that we did evil with our offerings to Yahuwah. We're going to go there. Jeremiah 7, everybody open up. I'm going to have our sister read that for us. Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. Everybody go ahead and open up. And you guys should just be able to click on the link. But let's go there, because some people don't know. And I want to make sure I'm covering everything. You see, if I'm going to be speaking something, it can't be my mouth. There's too many people doing that already. If I'm going to tell you this is the gospel truth or this is Yahuwah's word, we got to read it. We got to read it, because, see, there's a very fine line when you read it in the English and then you get the understanding in the through the set-apart spirit. You're going to get two different understandings. And because many people, they don't use the set-apart spirit, all they receive is what the eyes can see. But they are blind, and they have blind guides leading the blind because the Father's not working with them. They're spiritually discerned. And I'm not saying that as something bragging. I'm saying that, really, if you're not getting what I'm saying, humble yourself to the Father and ask him to reveal. My job is to plant. His job is to water and make grow. So if you're not getting these verses, and to me they're so clear, all I can say to you is humble yourself to the Father. Now, we're going to go over, and we're going to get some understanding about the evils with our offerings to Yahuwah, because it's all throughout the old covenant. That's why a new covenant had to come. Let's go to Jeremiah 7. Sister, could you please read that?
Yes, ma'am. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah saying, stand in the gate of Yahuwah's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Father, all you of Judah, that enter in the gates to worship the Father. Thus saith Yahuwah, host of the Father of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahuwah, the temple of Yahuwah, the temple of Yahuwah are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways, in your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I seen it, saith Yahuwah. But it go ye not unto my place, but was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, before you have done all these works, saith Yahuwah, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called upon you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and upon the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up nor cry, nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what thy do in the cities of Judah and in the cities of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes in the queen of to the queen of heaven, and to power out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahuwah? Do they not provoke themselves of the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, the Father, behold, my anger, my fury shall be powdered up upon this place.
Okay, sister, that's poured.
Oh, okay, see, it's not spelling the whole thing out in my Bible. Okay, I'm sorry. Poured out.
There's one translation I know that does read the U's or W's, and that's probably what's going on with you.
Yeah, it's a W. Sorry, I apologize, because the V's are used too in here too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. I'll reread 20, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah the Father, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. Thus saith Yahuwah, host of the Father of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I bought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your father, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent you unto all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse when their fathers, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahuwah the Father, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For Yahuwah hath rejected and forsaketh the generation of this wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahuwah. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in high valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded not them, neither come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. For the land shall be desolate.
All right. Thank you, sister. Okay. We'll go over it, Femi. We'll break it down a little bit. Okay. Jeremiah 7. We just read Jeremiah 7. And you see, a lot of people think our people were so righteous. They, you know, they find out the Hebrews and look, they got to do something. But you stay in the old covenant a little too much because we know that the church stayed in the new covenant. So a lot of our people like to dwell, just like to set up camp right in the old covenant, and they omit Yahushua. But they somehow forget, past the five books of Moses, past the Torah, that something occurred between that and Yahushua. And so we're reading about it right here, family. Reading about it right here. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah saying, stand in the gate of the house of the Most High, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of Yahuwah, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship Yahuwah. Thus said Yahuwah, creator of hosts, the father of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, change them, correct them, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now remember, this particular Jeremiah 7 is speaking of before the siege of Jerusalem. This was the second temple, okay? This was the temple that we built, our ancestors built, right after we came out of the Babylonian captivity, okay? You can read about that in Nehemiah and Ezra. So right here he says, amend your ways, you know, amend your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words. Remember, they were already forewarned that those who say they profit, they're given a profit from the Most High, don't listen to them, because I'm not talking to them. When you're in the land of your chastisement, you're supposed to be doing well, correcting whatever mistakes we did to get in the situation. Same thing here. He says, trust ye not in lying words, just like we see today. Ain't nothing new underneath the sun. It says the temple of Yahuwah. Same things when they tell you the law says, because we know that the temple of the Most High, yes, it's our spiritual bodies, but it's also the place where the word is spoken. So they're going thoroughly, and they're lying, saying the temple. Okay, the word says, okay, are these. Verse 5, for if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment, that's what we weren't doing, that was part of the law, that was part of the Torah, between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, and the strangers were us, family, if you didn't know. Yes, we were strangers in the old covenant. It says, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Now, let's see, I want to say something else about this. If ye oppress not the stranger. Now, in modern terms, who would be considered a stranger? Well, a stranger is someone who doesn't have the full truth of the word. A stranger is somebody could be a Hebrew and still be a stranger. When you go back to New Covenant, they use words like Jews and Gentiles. What they're saying is, when the apostles had to go out there and teach, they were teaching the ones who kept the law, kept the Torah. Those were your Hebrews. Then you had the Gentiles, the ones that were going buck and wild, serving other gods, other deities. You had two groups out there. Same thing you have today. There's many who know they're Hebrews, but they're still going under the Torah. Okay? Then you got the churchgoers, or the people who just don't have a faith. Okay? Those would be considered Gentiles. But as far as the stranger, they're all strangers to our Father because they don't have the full truth of Yahushua. Many people will tell you that you're supposed to leave a loved one behind and all this stuff and don't communicate with them. No, that's not what the Father's talking about. They would be considered a stranger. No. There are people who are poor. They don't have the complete understanding. You're supposed to set an example. They might not receive the truth, but you got to continue in striving. Okay, striving for the truth of the word and allowing them to see, and you be a witness to them. And pretty soon, they're going to get it. They will get it. So I want to stop there for a second. Verse 6, it says, if ye oppress not the stranger. You ain't got to tell the stranger to get out your house. Oh, I'm going to get rid of my wife or my husband or my children because they don't believe like I believe. No. You continue to live by the Father's word. Live in it. Okay. Verse 6. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Remember, in the end time, the Gentiles, those who don't have the complete truth of Yahushua, they don't understand Yahushua. You got some sitting in churches, they understand Yahushua better than most Hebrews, I would say. They understand that Yahushua came as a fulfillment. They understand that, but they don't know the Hebrews. They only got part truth. Remember, what was it, Solomon and Queen of Sheba? She only heard part truth. Many of our people hear part truth. That would be considered lying words because they're not getting the fullness. They're not getting the truth of the Father's word. They're only getting part of it. See, part truth can hurt you. You're supposed to study to show yourself approved. Let's go there. Come on. Verse 7, if you don't oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widows, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Verse 7 says, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. None new than the sun, nothing new. It's the same things that's going on, people not seeing it. Will ye steal? murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not. It doesn't mean that everybody's doing every single one of these things, but many people were doing these things, different aspects of these things. Okay? So the Father's asking them, will ye steal? And remember, he said, will you rob the Most High? But you have robbed me of tithes and offerings. We're going to get to that, okay? We're going to get to all this stuff because it's all right there in the Word. And commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom ye know not. Okay, you believe, many people believe that Jesus is it. Jesus, I love Jesus, the only Jesus that I ever knew. And as the, he's the only one. But they're not, they have lack of knowledge. Let's say that. They have lack of knowledge when they say that. So it says, verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Now we know the house that is being spoken of even today are our bodies. Many people don't realize the mark of the beast. Hey, if you don't have the truth with you, you got a different spirit with you, you already got the mark. To be called by the Father's name means you got the set apart spirit in you and you are operating out the spirit. Anything else is folly. You're leaving out Yahushua. Okay? Let's go there, and I'm not mincing my words. I pray you guys are understanding what I'm saying clearly, because this subject is way overdue. This is just going on with the rest of the lessons we've been teaching pertaining to the Torah, and the Torah truth, rather. And what about Yahushua? Same thing, family. We're just going a little further. It says in verse 11, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Because the Father already let us know that we were robbing him in tithes and offerings. Why were we robbing him with tithes and offerings, family? Do you know? Well, we were serving other gods, other deities, man-made images, and giving everything sacred that was supposed to be sent to the Father. We were giving it to them. We were using everything that we had gotten out the Torah, and we were serving these other gods, these deities. We were robbing the Father in tithes and in offerings, which were commanded for us to do. We were supposed to keep the Torah. We were supposed to serve only our Father. We didn't do that. We did the other thing. Okay, so that's what that robbing means, that stealing, you know. Okay, so then it tells us, verse 12, but go ye now unto my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because ye have done all these works, saith Yahuwah, and I speak unto you, rise up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Father's calling many of the people who are listening to this message today. As we read the Father's word, people's going to say they don't hear nothing. They're going to say, nah, nah, she wrong. Nah, nah. Yeah, I know she reading the scripture, but nah, nah, that ain't what it means. We're going to see if that's what it means. Keep along with us, family. I'm not done. I'm nowhere near done. Let's read it. Because, see, if you don't get angry about this, if you have been lied to, you need to be getting angry about this. Because those who are teaching you a fleshly message, teaching you just Torah, which is of the flesh, and leaving out Yahushua the equation, telling you that you can't speak the Father's word if you're a woman, telling you that you have to do these ceremonies, these festivals, not the holidays. We know that we don't do the holidays of the world, but you have to keep certain days, and the Shabbat can only be done this day, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. They don't even understand the liberty, but we're gonna go further. I'd be mad if I know that I've been lied to all this time, even by those who we think are us, are telling us the truth. They could be either or. So it tells us in verse, let's go to 14. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I've cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim, that's Israel. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up your cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. That's the Mary worship and all that, which you can find in your Christianity church. Anyhow, it says, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods. We were taking the things that were sacred. We were robbing the Father in tithes and offerings. We were pouring out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahuwah? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, Father of Israel, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus said Yahuwah of hosts, the Father of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your father, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, which was the Torah that was given to us, that it may be well with you. Okay? But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the indignation of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You wonder why the Father said, I do away with all your solemn meetings and your feasts and your burnt offerings and your Shabbats and your new moons. Hey, we're going to get there. Let's go. Let's go there, family. Verse 25. I read that already. Verse 27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahuwah their father, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For Yahuwah hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahuwah. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not. Broken commandment right there. Neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Most High, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, which means he's going to have a great slaughter. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. This goes back to the curses, family. This is speaking of the seed of Jerusalem, the siege of Jerusalem, the siege of Jerusalem. Yeah, when that took place, it's exactly what happened because we did not hearken, we did not obey. Verse 34, then will I cause to cease from the city of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness. Remember, Yahushua came out there, but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because they were listening to the scribes and the Pharisees who were preaching the law. Yahushua had a problem with it. We're going to get there. He says, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom, that's Yahushua, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. I don't think we can get any more clearer than that, but there's going to be somebody out there going to say, well, I kind of see what you're talking about. Well, you're going to really get it. You're going to really, because we ain't even started. For if you want to learn the truth, we have not even started. We have not started with the truth. We're going to get there. We will get there. Sister?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put a link on the chat line, but we're going to go to Isaiah 1. I want to read that again because, you see, family, some people, they forget. And I want to make sure that you ain't got no room to say you forgot nothing because we're going to go through these scriptures. So let me see. I got somebody on. Oh, okay, they're talking about you. They're talking about your scriptures that you're reading out of. Anyhow, it's not detrimental that I tell you all that right now. But listen, let's go over there. Let's go to Isaiah 1. And we're just going to read, if you have scriptures, go ahead and open to Isaiah 1. We read it, the Shabbat shows that we did, speaking of the Torah truth. What about Yahushua? Okay, well, we're going to read it again. But the only thing is I want her to read. This is going to tell you about how the Father did away with a lot of things that people are trying to keep because it was given to us in the Torah. When we get to Isaiah 1, I'm just going to have her read verses 11 through 15. So, sister, can you please read those verses for me?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Chapter 1, verses 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith Yahuwah? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fettled beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to thread my court? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot with away. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood.
All right, sister, thank you. Now, family, we went through Isaiah 1. Like I said, a couple shows back. The point is, are you hearing? Remember, let me just go there. I read this in the beginning. I'm going to read it again. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of the Most High, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 1. In Isaiah 1, let's hear what the Father says, because people don't realize that between getting the Torah and the new covenant, something went wacky. Something went wrong. Okay, it tells us, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? That's Yahuwah. He want to know, what purpose is all these sacrifices you're doing? Because you see, if you don't know what it's talking about, we were taking what was sacred and giving it to the other gods, the deities, man-made images. Look, that's what we were doing. So the Father wants to know, so what is the purpose of the multitude of these sacrifices unto me? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams. Everything that we were given to the Father, we were given to the other deities. And the fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, he's going to ask a question. Who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who told you to come here? What you doing? People, Israel, what y'all doing here? He want to know, what's the purpose of your sacrifices? What's going on? What's going on? Who has required this at your hand? I didn't tell you to come here to tread my courts. He tells you in verse 3, bring no more vain oblations. incense is an abomination to me. The new moons that people try to keep. Oh, got to go. I got the right moon, and you go look at this moon and all this, and the Shabbats, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot. Away with. He's saying get rid of it. I don't want, look, I'm tired. Who has told you to come tread my court with this? I didn't call you here. What are you doing? Don't bring me no more vain oblations, incense. It's an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Shabbats, the calling of the assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. I don't see how clear it can get, baby. 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts, your appointed feasts. You are keeping something that you are not supposed to keep even today. My soul hated. They are a trouble unto me because when I gave them to you, you didn't keep them. Remember the ordinances which we did not keep. That's the law. That's the statutes. We read the definitions, family. He says, I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea. When ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Father, letting you know, what part is it that you don't get that, yes, we were given the Torah. Yes, that was good. That was for our protection. That was to keep us righteous. That was to obey the Father while we were sojourning in a land that was not ours, while we had the flesh on. But we couldn't keep it in the flesh, family. We couldn't keep it. We started taking the flesh things that we were supposed to be taking to our Father for service and servicing other gods and other man-made images. That's what we were doing. That's what we were doing. If we go a little further, we're going to go further because, see, some people got to know. The law, just know this, the law is flesh. You know, I'm going to go some, when we have another show, I'm going to go into another scripture I want to read about that. So y'all know, I'm not just speaking it. The word says it if you haven't read it or if you don't understand what you're reading, which is in English, and it's clear in English, too. That's the part that gets me. It's very clear that it tells you that the law, that's a flesh thing. Remember Hagar, Mount Sinai? We're going to read that later. It says, well, I say, this is my words here, law, that's flesh. Which the scripture says as well, says we are to keep the Torah, but we robbed Yahuwah by giving them to idols of men and fallen gods, our angels, fallen angels. That's what we were doing. Those of the flesh will have you overlook passages of scriptures like the ones we just read and focus on the works of the law instead of obeying Yahuwah. Father asks you, you know, do you love the created more than the creator? If it's in his word, where's the problem? Where's the non-understanding? You know, we're going to get to the understanding of what Yahuwah wanted us to know within his word. Now, you know, some people forgot some stuff, but I will go there. Have we forgotten about, let's go to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Sister, I'm going to have you read Romans 8. And I want to make sure everybody at home is flipping open. Flip it open, your scriptures. Flip it open and see what's in Romans 8. Okay, because somebody forgot or somebody overlooked when they were teaching the Torah, Romans 8. We're going to go there. I'm going to give the chat line the link real quick. I just want to make sure that everybody is following along. Nobody's lost here. I'm not speaking Greek or Yiddish or anything else, but I'm speaking in a language that you can clearly understand. Okay, I'm reading the Father's Word as we are supposed to do. I'm studying to show myself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so let's go over to Romans 8. I'm going to have Sister read it for us. Sister Connie, anytime.
Cookie.
I'm sorry, Sister Cookie, I'm sorry.
Okay, Romans chapter 8. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of Yahuwah.
Sister, Romans 8. Romans 8. I think you're reading something else.
Oh,
Romans chapter 8.
You know what? I'm on this Roman numeral thing. I'm so sorry. Okay. Here we go. I got it. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yahushua, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yahushua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that is what, and that was with weak through the flesh, Yahuwah sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. I'm sorry, this thing is running words together.
I'm going to read this, sister, because I want to make sure it come out clear. You sit tight for a second. I'm going to read this. Romans 8, I want to make sure everybody getting it. Now, remember, everybody prior who learned from the scribes and the Pharisees, they had been hearing about the law, and they were called Jews, which we know is the word Hebrew, because nobody ain't no J in the Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, or Greek, not even today. These were Hebrews. They were keepers of the law. They had learned under the scribes and the Pharisees, those who were sitting in Moses' seat. So by the time we get to Romans 8, this is Paul. He's doing a little teaching here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yahushua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the set-apart spirit. For the law of the set-apart spirit of life in Yahushua had made me free from the law of sin and death. We're talking about old covenant, that's the flesh, that's the law, new covenant, Yahushua. For what the law could not do, this is why Yahushua had to come, because we kept sinning in the flesh. Remember, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahuwah sent his own son, Yahushua, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the set-apart spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the set-apart spirit are the things of the set-apart spirit. For to be carnal, to be flesh, to be carnally minded is death, and that's what the law was, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In Yahushua, right? Yahushua came to bring the word spiritual. We're no longer dealing with flesh and blood, family. None of the physical. Let's get to the word. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against the Most High Yahuwah. For it is not subject to the law of the Most High, neither indeed can be. All right? The carnal mind, the flesh mind is. Fight. You remember how it says that the flesh and the spirit, they strive against each other? It tells us because the carnal mind is enmity against our Father Yahuwah, for it is not subject to the law of the Most High, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please the Most High. They that tell you to wear certain outfits, they who tell you that clothes that we wear in 2013, pants and all that, that's speaking of this in the old covenant, Deuteronomy, a woman not ought to wear clothes that pertain to a man. They ain't talking about that. The Father's not talking about no clothes, nothing. When they tell you to get out of here, go run, go save yourself, ship yourself to the moon, go to space, go underneath your house and build a little cave so when all tragedy hits so-called America, Babylon, that you could be delivered. Or so that you could preach. And they'll tell you that 1,000 years is 1,000 years, not one day, because that's what the Father's Word says, is one day. Messing up all Scripture with their fleshly minds, their carnal minds. It tells us right here, because the carnal mind is enmity against our Father Yahuwah, for it is not subject to the law of the Most High, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please our Father Yahuwah. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the set-apart spirit. If so be that the Spirit of the Most High dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the set-apart spirit of Yahushua, he is none of his. You think that I'm saying something wrong when I tell you that you got the set-apart spirit, the knowledge of truth, because the Father is flowing. He's allowing you to understand the scripture that you have the mark of Yahuwah. If you don't have the set-apart spirit and you're moving in the spirit instead of the flesh. The flesh is death. If you're thinking of anything of the external, the flesh, if you're not taking off the old man, putting on a new man, you're of the flesh. If you can't get the water baptism, that was a forerunner of things to come. That Yahushua superseded it. It was something that was there as a shadow of things to come. Yahushua made it all spiritual, so that set apart spirit, the rending of the veil. Remember how the tabernacle had the veil between it, where only the Levites could go only so far, and then the high priest could go in the other portion. Well, all that was torn. Now we have a direct connection with our Father Yahuwah through Yahushua. So people don't get this. This is for as many are as well. Let me go back a little bit. Let me go back because I'm leaving some verses out. I'm going to go back to 10. And if Yahushua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the set apart spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the set apart spirit of him that raised up Yahushua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahushua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his set apart spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. I didn't say that. I'm going to read it again. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you live after the Torah and leave out Yahushua, ye shall die. But if ye through the set apart spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the set apart spirit of the Most High, they are the sons of the Most High. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. A word about this new world order and all this mess, because somebody reading you a fleshly doctrine. Somebody telling you that America is Babylon. Somebody telling you if you don't go dip yourself in a cold bucket of water and wash yourself frozenly clean, that, hey, you can't be righteous. Telling you all this nonsense. No, that's not the truth. Let's read it. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the set apart spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The set apart spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of the Most High. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of the Most High, and joint heirs with Yahushua. Remember the power of authority? Yahuwah, then Yahushua, then every man or the woman. That's the assembly. Three powers of authority. And if children, that's the church, that's the woman, that is the, when they say if children, that's every man. Go look the words up. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of the Most High and joint heirs with Yahushua, if so be that we suffer for with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, and that glory is the set apart spirit. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of the Most High. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Let me get my screen a little down. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of the Most High. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the set-apart spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the set-apart spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, and I'm not going to read any further. You can read all that yourself, but you got to understand. A lot of people are trying to keep things because of the law of the flesh. They're putting bondage. That's what Yahushua was telling the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Teaching our people. Same thing today. Same thing today. It's in the Word. I'm not speaking against the Torah, but the Father had something to say about it. So did Yahushua. So did Paul and a lot of the other apostles. They were teaching this. But people just not getting it because people, you know, we stiffen our necks, you know, and act like we know everything and we're bold and we're mean looking and we don't want to hear. We're quick to speak and not quick to hear. You know, this is our people, you know, and I pray that if anyone's listening to this, they're getting the understanding of the Father's word because it's all here. I'm not trying to upset anybody, but it's the truth. We're gonna go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, sister, I'm gonna have you go ahead and open up Galatians 5, and I'm gonna give it to the chat line. See, the Father's word to some people is glorious. To other people, oh, my goodness, it's just a big headache because they, you know, nobody wants to be wrong. But who cares if you're wrong? Take correction as a blessing. That's the way I look at it. You better take that correction as a blessing. Here you go, family. For those of you who continuously want to hear the Father's truth, let's go to it. Galatians chapter 5. Sister?
Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Steadfast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Yahushua hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Yahushua should profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Yahushua has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Yahushua neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision by faith which worketh by love. Ye do run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through Yahuwah that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but the love serve one another. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you have been led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ shall have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Excuse me, I'm going to reread that one. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another.
All right. Thank you, sister. You know I'm going to go through that one, family. You know I will go through that one because to me, like I said, for those who keep the Torah, the way they're keeping the Torah now, not through Yahushua, but through what was given to us in the first five books of Moses and just barking at people and teaching people corruptness, making the children of the Most High more children devils than themselves. That's what they're doing. The Word says it. I don't have to say nothing. The Word says it. Let's go to Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. And before I get started, I want to give out the number. We're probably going to stop after this because I want to go some other places, but we'll have to pick up and just do a 4 or 5 or 6. We'll just have to keep doing it because there's much in the Scripture that speaks against those who try to keep just the Torah and omit Yahushua. See, the Torah was given to us for righteousness, and so that we can obey our Father Yahuwah for protection while we were sojourning in this land that's not ours. But if you omit Yahushua and don't bring things spiritual, you know, that's death to you. There's no clear way to say it. It's in the Word. We just read it. So I want to go ahead and give everyone, this will be the last scripture that we go over. I'm going to get through it, and then we're going to call it a night. Give you something to meditate on, okay? I'm going to go ahead and get that call-in number to the chat line, and I'm going to say it out. Well, I don't need to say it out loud. I'll just give it to the chat line. But if you're dyslexic, I'll read it. 646-595-4111. This truth has to be told, family. This is not my truth. This is the Father's truth. You know, and don't be afraid or ashamed to tell the truth of the Word when you hear somebody, don't be ashamed or afraid to correct. We know that there's a lot of these teachers right here that like to bark at people, insult people, and voice is very overbearing at times. You know, but hey, use the correction. Show them the truth of the Word. I mean, you're actually helping them because, you know, we all have to be watchmen for each other, for our brethren. There's a lot of people lost right now. There's a lot of lost sheep that are with the ones who call themselves Hebrew Israelites. So, 646-595-4111. If you'd like to continue with us, I'm going to get through this. And I pray that everybody continues to join us till we finish this out. Okay, because you got to know the truth. All the lies must cease. That's not according to our Father's Word. Now, when we go to Galatians 5, and like I said, if this, reading this, for those of you who like to keep to the flesh, if you can't understand this, humble yourself down to the Father and ask Him to remove those scales. Unplug that earwax out of your ears. You know, repent. Come to the Father in righteousness and truth spiritually. You got to come to the truth. Because remember, the flesh, anything of the flesh, means death to you. Okay? Let's go there. Galatians 5. Paul put in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the Liberty, and most people don't even know about the Liberty, but we have a show about that. As a matter of fact, that's the show that's featured on our main page of Blog Talk Radio. Go look at it. Go listen to it, okay? Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Yahushua made us free. Remember the truth that set you free? Well, Yahushua made us free. He gave us the truth. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember the law from Hagar, Mount Sinai, is bondage? We're not children of the flesh. We're children of the spirit. So let's keep reading. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if ye be circumcised, Yahushua shall profit you nothing, right? Because it's not about the outer anything, nothing. It's not about a man. It's not about a woman anymore. It's not about one Hebrew who's out here in America. It's not about a Hebrew who's out there wherever they're at, scattered across the four corners of the earth. It's not about any of that stuff anymore. Paul says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Yahushua shall profit you nothing. If you be of the flesh, the circumcision of the flesh, Yahushua shall profit you not a thing. For I testify again to every man, that's the church, right, as they like to call it, that's assembly. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You continue with the whole law, Torah keepers. You go ahead, because Yahushua is going to profit you nothing. Yahushua is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, by the Torah, by the first five books of Moses, omitting Yahushua, ye are fallen from grace. Now, to me, sister, is that clear or is that not clear?
I think it's crystal clear.
You know, I do. What part could they screw up in that part? I don't get it.
It's too much in plain English to be screwed up, to not even understand.
Right. So when we talk about this Torah truth, let's get to the whole truth. In order to get to the whole truth, we got to bring in Yahushua. We can't omit him because he has something to say. Because what? We just read it, that the things of the flesh, the Torah and all, we couldn't keep those things. He had to, Most High had to bring his only begotten son to come in the flesh, and through his flesh being scourged and death of the flesh, that the set apart spirit, the comfort, could come to us, that we can have redemption by the blood. There was no other way for this to happen, family. And the liberty of the truth. We're in the most wickedest place. You've got to have liberty. You've got to have the understanding that this whole place is wicked. How do you think that these wicked cannot touch the Most High's anointed? Through the Spirit. They can say Sunday law got everybody all riled up about Sunday law because most people don't understand that the Shabbat man was not made for the Shabbat, but the Shabbat made for man. They don't understand that we are the creations of Genesis chapter 2, that had to set up our spirit through Adam and Eve, that we are the called ones. The Shabbat was made so that Adam and Eve, or shall I say Adam really, Adam could be placed into the garden or set apart, stayed Kodesh for mankind. Six-day creation, male and female. Many people don't realize that. It's all in the Word. Set apart spirit has to guide you to the truth. But it's there. Okay, family, they're giving me 90 seconds, so I'm going to stop for a second. And let me just give the call-in number one more time. And I think everybody's here. 646-595-4111. We have about a minute left. So if you would like to continue with this, we're going to finish up this truth of our Father's Word. I'm not stuttering. And I'm speaking boldly on this truth because it's all in the Father's Word. Do you want the truth or do you want to stand the lie? All right, they gave me 60 seconds. I'm going to go to my sister real quick and get a little feedback from her. Sister, how has so far this particular lesson, speaking of the Torah truth and what about Yahushua, how has your eyes been open to any truth? Were you ever lost to any of this truth?
I was. With as far as the dressing, like how women should dress or appropriate themselves, and different things like that. The order, when you say Yahuwah, Yahushua, and man or woman, I've always was taught it was, I'm just going to use from the Christian side, from what I was taught of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the male and then the female. So basically, I was always taught that women were pretty much doormats.
That's a good way to say it.
Doormats, we're nothing. We're just here to serve man whenever he wants to do something with us, have children, and just shut up and sit down somewhere. Cover your head, cover your body, accept your eyes, you know, stuff like that, which I think is ludicrous. I really can't believe, and I don't believe that Yahuwah created us for that purpose, because we came directly from Adam's DNA. So that means, I mean, we came from his side, so that means we're standing beside him, not behind him. That's just how I look at it. So with reading the scriptures and just listening to different archives that you have, it's actually opened my eyes more, because I was pretty confused. And I see women who they're covered down from head to toe, and I'm just like, what does that mean? What is that? I mean, I didn't get that. So now my eyes are open, because it was more in the fleshly look. People are more in the literal sense of the scripture that they're reading and completely abusing it and setting it for their satisfaction. So this has definitely opened my eyes to the truth.
Oh, all right. Good, good. I know that a lot of Hebrews, when they come into the truth, lost sheep, let me say it right. I know that a lot of lost sheep, when they come to the truth, they usually hear about it from usually one of the male camps, okay, or a YouTube video by the male camps. And they all seem to teach of the flesh, and it's a big error going on right now. And they would tell you that a woman, she ought to shut up and be quiet. She ought not to usurp authority over the man. So who's going to correct that man if he's wrong? Oh, you got to wait for Yahushua to come correct him. No, see, Yahushua not coming out of time. Everything's at its appointed time. And we, as children of the Most High, are supposed to correct each other with love, correct each other. Because that's a blessing to get corrected. That means the Most High wants you to hear the truth. But, like you said, I've called you and you don't answer. Many people don't answer. They don't hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to know the truth. But when we read the scripture, which clearly tells us what we're supposed to be doing, you can't get no easier than that. Let's go back there. Let's go back to Galatians 5, because Galatians 5 says a lot. There's a lot of scriptures that say a lot. But, hey, let's just go there. I'm going to start over again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Yahushua has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, what is the yoke of bondage? Well, that's the things of the flesh. That's the Torah. Because he's going to get into it, he's going to tell you exactly that. Let's read it. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, this is something of the flesh, Yahushua shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Yahushua is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the set-apart spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're speaking about Yahushua. For in Yahushua neither circumcision availeth anything. So, or nor circumcision, uncircumcision, because it's not about anything of the flesh. You can be circumcised, and you don't have to be circumcised. It don't have no matter to the Father, okay? It don't have no matter to Yahushua. His message was spiritual. So it reads in verse 6, for in Yahushua neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And you see, when we go into a lot of the letters that Paul was writing, he's trying to figure things out too. Just like when I sit and I listen to those flesh messages going out and people screaming, Torah, Torah, Torah. They're telling you, and God said, and they're going right back to the Torah. They're going right back to the Torah with a lot of this. And they are flesh thinkers. Their eyes have not been opened. Blessed are ye because ye hear, and you can read it, and you can see, and you can have understanding. Hey, it's all in the Word. So Paul says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion's coming not of him that calleth you, which means our Father. Our Father called us. He gave us that set apart spirit. That wasn't his persuasion. We know that our Father is in spirit. Okay? Now he said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now he can go back to the Pharisees, the lawgivers, the scribes and Pharisees. In verse 9 it reads, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of wrong just messes up the whole loaf. Can't give a little bit of falseness in the truth of the word. Yeah, they know they're Hebrews. They know this, they know that, but when they get to that law, and when they get to the reading of the word, they're so fleshly. That's a little bit of leaven. Leaven in the whole lump. It says, I have confidence in you through Yahushua, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you, those were the ones who were teaching Moses, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were teaching the law. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Meaning, you know, you got to pay attention. It might be a man. It might be a woman. It might be the pastor that came out of Christianity, and now he know he's a Hebrew, but he didn't learn a lie. He didn't get the full truth. He only got part of the truth. So it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through Yahushua that ye will be none otherwise minded. But what? To the truth of the Father's word. Who hindered you that you shouldn't obey the truth? The truth is, let me go back so you can get it. For I testify against every man that is circumcised, and he is a debtor unto the whole law, the ones under the law. Yahushua has become no effect to you, okay? Whosoever of you are justified by the law, screaming Torah, 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 ye are fallen from grace. Okay, so Paul says, I have confidence in you through Yahushua that ye will be none otherwise minded, like they're teaching. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, something fleshly, why do I yet suffer persecution? Okay? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. We know that these who were sitting in Moses' seat weren't supposed to be there. They had a different gospel, although they were reading out the same word that we read out of. But their eyes have been blinded. The blind are leading the blind. They're yelling words that are where you have warned against the spirit and the flesh. They're telling you to leave, flee. They're telling you you have to do something. You have to wear something. You know, they're telling you that you cannot speak because the law says, and right here in Corinthians, all flesh, their eyes read it, and they don't even recognize that these are letters, and Yahushua picked up Paul out of his sinful ways and chose him to go ahead and teach the truth to all those lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Gentiles. Paul was for the Gentiles. Now, there was other apostles teaching the, they like to put the word Jew in the New Testament, New Covenant, but they're speaking of the Hebrews who only had part truth. It's the same thing, Sam. All this is the same thing. So he says that he wished that they were cut off, which trouble you, which teach you this damnable doctrine. They're teaching you a doctrine of death. Is what they're doing. When Yahushua came to give you a set apart spirit of life. You know? Let's go. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Now check it out. All the law, all the Torah, all the five books of Moses. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that too hard to understand? Like we said, we know that the law was given to us, but a lot happened in between, and we were not righteous people. The Father had to bring Yahushua because everything of the law, which was of the flesh, we couldn't keep. We kept sinning. So now we have understanding that for all the law, not for part of the Torah, but for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your brother, love your sister as yourself. Because within all that, family, you're doing everything. You don't have to worry. Remember when the scribes and the Pharisees, or the Pharisees, I think it was, they came to Yahushua and they were talking about divorcement. Yahushua said it was put in the law because of your evil heart. Because of you, it was put in there. The divorcement. But if you love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, if you love one another, because remember, two flesh became one. You're not going to hate your own flesh. You're supposed to love your wife. All this bickering that they got going on, the man got to put his foot on the woman's neck and all this nonsense, all this craziness, Torah teachers. The law says, and the law, and da-da-da, and they don't understand that Paul's writing letters rebuking what they're teaching. And many who sit under these scribes and Pharisees don't know any differently. But we're going to read it. It tells us right here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. It's speaking of Hebrews. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Then I say then, walk in the set-apart spirit. Because remember, it's dwelling in you, remember? That's what Yahushua did. He was the comforter that came. It's now dwelling within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Most High. We have the direct connection to Yahuwah through Yahushua. Okay, get the understanding. He says, this I say then, walk in the set-apart spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh, I'm going to wait till this airplane goes over, family, because I don't know if you guys can hear it, but it's very loud on my end. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the set-apart spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Your flesh want to do something, but the set-apart spirit, you know, is within you, is correcting you. But if ye be led by the set-apart spirit, guess what? Ye are not under the law. Yet not under the law. Not that the law was done away with, but it's spiritual. Love your neighbor as yourself is the fulfillment of the law. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest. Those fleshly people, which are these? Adultery, you're going to see fornication, uncleanliness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of the Most High. But the fruit of the set-apart spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Yahushua's have crucified the flesh. The flesh, done away with the flesh. Don't mean that you got to go out there and whip yourself every day like some of these people in these churches do. I forgot what they call that, but they do that. And they that are Yahushua's have crucified the flesh, which means you're not flesh anymore. You're spiritual with the affections and the lust. That's how you crucify the flesh, family. If we live in the set-apart spirit, let us also walk in the set-apart spirit. Let us not be desirous or desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, you go ahead and read all Galatians, because we're going to read it later, but you go ahead and read all Galatians for those of you who are under teachers of the flesh, under the law, and misquoting Paul. Get the understanding. For those of you who go to these lawgivers, they call them lawgivers, they call them Torah keepers, they got all kind of names for them, but they specifically focus and dwell in the five books of Moses. And you can't get the fullness of the scriptures if you just dwell in one place. You can't get the understanding if the set apart spirit is not moving through you. The only way you'll get the set apart spirit is through Yahushua. If you omit that, you're going to mess up the law. We read to you how Old Covenant, Yahushua was foretold that he was going to come and he's going to be dwelling with us. And that he would redeem us from our sin, which was the law, the flesh, the sin. I don't know how many other ways to put it, family, but we're going to go more into this later. I don't want to do too much more, but Sister Cookie, I really thank you for helping me read all this. And would you like to say anything at this time?
No, just that I apologize for this book. I got the 1611, but some of the stuff is, like, some of the words are ran into each other, and then you got the U's and the V's and the W's that are mixed around, so I apologize.
Yeah. Well, you know, sister, I knew that's what you're reading up because I have a link on our site, and when you hit the first link, I think I put it on the second link, but they'll tell you if you want the ones without the W's for the V's, and you know, I did get the links, but I'll give you a special link next time you read so that you can read it, you know, without all the W's and everything. But you did fine, sister. I thank you. You did fine. We actually have someone who would like to say something, so I'm going to go ahead and open a mic, and we'll get some feedback, sister. Area code 936, Shalom.
Shalom, Sister Georgia. Shalom, Sister Cookie.
Sister Felicia. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Who?
This is Sister Etana.
Sister, you sound like someone else. How you doing, sister?
All right. Sister Felicia is my sister.
Oh, okay. We see. Y'all sound just alike because that's how I thought you were. How are you doing? Did you want to share something with us?
I'm doing good. And, yes, this is another good show out of this series. And I was just wondering how to explain this to someone who's thinking completely in the flesh as far as all of these laws. And how would I explain that to them?
Well, we gave you very much verses that, I mean, just Galatians 5, to me, it should be enough. But if it's not enough, you go right back and you tell them to read Romans 8, verse 3. As a matter of fact, I tell everybody 1 through 4 if you read Romans 8, because that one tells you, it says, for what the law could not do, there's a problem with the law, in that it was weak through the flesh, and we all in the flesh. Yahushua sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemn sin in the flesh. And it, you know, it goes on to talking about that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual thing, sister. But this whole series, you got many verses to choose from because I'm hitting them all. I don't want to leave any verse uncovered for somebody to come and say, well, you see, we ain't going to have it.
Right. Okay. Okay, I get it. Because, see, I was just having a problem with, the unclean foods, the mixing of stuff. I mean, just all types of different little laws that he has, and so I was just wondering, are those omitted? Do we not follow that? Is that, in a sense,
well,
sent away?
Go back. That's why I posted that show that I did on the Liberty. It's posted as a highlight feature show. Go back to that show. Understand that certain things were given to us because they're no good to us. The food, yeah, we should still keep those. He didn't come to do away with nothing but to fulfill. But we eat food. That's something we got to eat. But that don't mean that pork is good for us. All you got to do is go back to the Maccabees, Second Maccabees, chapter 7, I believe. Understand how people were getting killed because they weren't going to eat that pork. You know, you are what you eat. Let's say that. You are what you eat. We know that the pig is the most unclean thing there is. We know that the demons from the possessed man wanted the pig. That's all unclean.
Right.
They were unclean. We know that the pig itself does not get rid of poisons and certain things. And, you know, you go look at that little video they got on YouTube. They show you that when they put that pig, that slice of pig, on a frying pan, and they pour some something up on it, all them worms and nastiness, the filth that was in the pig. Pig are, see, your bottom feeders, they eat the things that now the garbage people take. So it wasn't meant for us to eat that. I believe that, I do believe this. This is me speaking, but I believe that our bodies, because we're in the image of our Father. So our bodies were created a special way, you know, and I don't believe anybody should be eating the foods that were, I know some people will tell you, okay, you've got the liberty to eat this. No, I don't believe you do.
Right.
I don't think that's what that liberty is talking about. The liberty is talking about you're in a time when we did not hearken to our Father, so we are right among the heathens. Come out from among them. Don't do as they do. But we know that everything that we have that is in English, what, in this land that we live in, the days of the week, the months, or this or that, even the word Bible, all these ways, everything's pagan, everything. So with that liberty, you are allowed to exist and not sin because you have the understanding of Yahushua. When you eat a certain food, and when I say a certain food, I mean like, okay, for Thanksgiving. I made that. I want to make that point when I did Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We know what the turkey represents for them, for the wicked. But we know that our Father gave us that food. I'm not participating in no doggone Thanksgiving, but I'm thanking the Father because I thank the Father for everything. And this is food that he created. Just because the wicked has taken some and perverted it. You see what I'm saying? So we have liberties now because of what has been done. They've changed the calendar. People come too early, too soon, and the whole system, the whole world is out of whack right now. People trying to find what the new moon, the this date, the that. Everything's messed up. So you have the liberty to know that you don't put one day, you don't judge a man for one day over the other or the food or anything. You don't judge nobody no more. Because you got a personal relationship with the Father, and yes, he does know your heart. But not only that, everything we have, knowing that we are Hebrews, we give thanks to the Father. We ain't thinking no God, no Jesus. You know, we ain't thinking no man. We know that anything that is, the Father gave it to us.
Absolutely.
Is it safe to say that with this message, especially of today, that the flesh really has no bearing on what is going on today? Basically, what I'm saying is head coverings and different stuff like that, he doesn't care about. It's your spirit at this point.
That's what he says. That's what he said.
Right.
He just read it. He was talking about the uncircumcision and the circumcision because we know that when you go to the Torah, the males had to get circumcised. That was commanded. Okay? Nowadays, if you're not circumcised, it makes no difference. It profited nothing. If you get circumcised or if you don't, it profited nothing in Yahushua. It don't matter. You know?
Right. So if I decide to chop all my hair off, I'm not going to go to hell. Like they would say,
you can shave your head bald, sister. You can shave
your
head bald. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We know in the old covenant when they were shaved, it was because of shame. But
right.
We're under a spiritual covenant now with our Father. And he ain't looking at nothing on the flesh. And he don't want anybody to do anything of the flesh to save themselves. Those who would try to save themselves are what? You know the answer?
What
was the question? The scriptures tell us that the ones who try to save their selves, their flesh, will lose their what?
Their life.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, if you try to do anything thinking that you can save yourself for what's coming upon this earth, the destruction, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
Yahushua said that he can do that. He's going to regather. He gathered us one time already. People don't realize that. He gathered us into that wilderness. He going to regather us. There's nothing that you can do. That's why you better get spiritual. So anything of the outer appearance, anything of the outer anything, means nothing to our Father. Because
so like
it's a spiritual thing now.
Mm-hmm. But like back to what Sister Cookie had just brought up, like a verse, 1 Corinthians 11:15, how it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is her glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So we can cut our hair, or I mean, like
yes, you can.
You know, okay.
I'm gonna go there because you know there's more you need to read. I'm gonna go there. Give me a second to pull up my scriptures here. Where is that again?
1 Corinthians 11:15.
Okay, let's go there because there's more that you're leaving out. Because you know the scriptures are gonna go back and forth and give you comparisons. Okay, you're at 11:15, right?
Yes.
Okay, go to 16. What does it read?
But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of Yahuwah.
So Paul said that the assembly, we don't have no customs like that, but if any man seems to be contentious, we have no customs. These customs you're talking about with the hair and all, neither the assembly of the Most High. He's letting you know that. Remember, Paul was the one, as well as Yahushua, teaching spiritual. People worried about the things of the outer. The Father ain't worried about that. It wasn't among the assembly. That's not what Yahushua was teaching. But there were people doing those things because they went back to the Torah.
Right. Okay.
Just remember, when you get to the New Covenant, Matthew's right off the bat, it tells you. The scribes and the Pharisees, and I read what those words meant two shows back. They're the lawgivers. They're the ones who's reading and teaching the people. But they were not supposed to be there, but he was letting us know they're sitting in Moses' seat. That wasn't a seat for them to sit in, but they were sitting there teaching the people. That's why the Father, through Yahushua, or it should say Yahushua, went out there through his apostles, taught them the truth, and had them go out and teach the people. And then he told them, don't take nothing with you, because you're going to have some that's going to hear the word and be happy they heard the word, and others, they're going to reject the word. And when they do, you kick the dust off your feet and keep going. And it talks about the one who reject the word, reject the truth. You know, they're going to have problems. So, I mean, this is all really the same thing being rehashed over and over and over again. And right now, everybody knows Ephesians says we're no longer dealing with flesh and blood, and that seems to escape many, except when they think they're doing spiritual warfare with the angels and the demons and the whatever. No, that has to do with both what Yahushua bring, which was a spiritual, the covenant, and we're going to get in more scriptures. I haven't even started. When we get ready to go a little further, you're going to see what I mean. But I don't want to go any further tonight. I think we did enough. I think people need to go back through the scriptures, get a little bit of understanding, go through the first, second, and third of the series, get ready for the fourth. If Sister Cookie can, and if I can, we will have another show tomorrow. I'm going to wait and see. I haven't even asked my daughter if she has to work, so I have to see her on my little one's schedule. And I don't know about Sister Cookie's schedule. I got to get with her. But, family, there's so much scripture in here that's spiritual. By the time you get to the New Covenant, Yahushua came to bring the things of the flesh that we could not keep, which was by the Torah. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to do away with the prophets, the Torah, the Shabbat, nothing. It's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, sister?
I wanted to know why is this emphasis on women being back burners? I mean,
what do you mean, like, which scripture? All of them that the men are quoting, the rebukings, and then going
right.
to the scriptures that are not talking about a woman.
No. I'm not saying the spirit. I mean the scriptures. I'm talking about what's being taught. Why does it seem like everything that's being taught is women are just less than? Where did it come from? Because I mean. It just goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's just, and I'm really putting an emphasis on this because it really bothers me when I hear men and, you know, other teachers talk like that. Like, why is there emphasis to be quiet and the women should this and the women should that and, you know.
Okay, sister, I'm going to give it to you really simple. When you go to Paul's teachings, their letters, and what he was doing was he was reading what they said and then rebuking it. The messages never change, but there are words in the scripture in the English where it tells you that the daughters of Zion are like a comely woman. The daughters of Zion, which is Israel, in the old covenant, you get to the new covenant, somebody has made it into a woman. Somebody has gone to Genesis 3 and told you that, which is a prophecy, telling you that the man would be over the woman and with the rod of iron and all that stuff. Not understanding that it was prophecy of what was going to happen to our people and that Yahushua would be that man of iron that be ruling the nation. You know, go back to Revelations. What it is they're spiritually discerned, sister. That's why we're teaching. There's a lot of people out there teaching of the flesh, only what the eyes can read, not allowing the spirit to lead them and guide them to the truth. So you're going to get a perverted message. That's why I hearken everyone to ask our Father for understanding, go through these scriptures, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word, precepting to hear a little there, a little, and make sure you know that when you go to get that here and that there of a little, make sure that that's what is being spoken of. You're rightly dividing the word. Because if not, you know, you'll just be under one of the scribes and Pharisees. You'll be lost. And remember, everything of the flesh is death. Yahushua came to bring us spiritual, because no flesh and blood will enter into that kingdom.
Right.
I don't know if I answered that for you, but that's the best way I can, just to let you know that many scribes and Pharisees teaching the Torah, teaching the law, they're spiritually discerned. And they're taking the scriptures out of context, and they're putting heavy burdens on the people, and they're making the children of the Most High more devils than themselves. And that's what the Word says, and that's what's really happening right now. And,
right, that's what I was trying to get to, because it's so perverted to where it just makes, you know, babies, if you will, of the truth. It can cause people to just turn away, because especially when pertaining to a woman, or you know what they put out, I feel it'll make a lot of people turn away if they don't read the scriptures for themselves and understand it themselves. Because go ahead.
I was going to say, let's say this: the Father's word says it's the truth that will set you free. But it seems like the law they're putting on you is putting bondage on you, because you don't feel free as a woman, as a Hebrew woman, going to one of these camps and listen to one of these teachers. What comes out of their mouth for the female is bondage. It's slavery. You might as well be right back under Edom.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well go be with the Iranians and all them that kill their women and do all kind of hurtful things. I mean, the Father's word, if you're getting the truth, it's freedom to you. You're not under bondage. But what is happening is you have the scribes and the Pharisees throwing that yoke of iron on your neck. You don't feel no freedom. And any woman who says she feels freedom, when somebody tells her that she's not worthy enough, she don't have a set-apart spirit, she can't speak the Father's truth, well, I don't know what to say about that person. I really don't, because that's not freedom. That's bondage. The Father says that his children, both the men and the women, are the apple of his eye. He did not say just that man, that righteous man, when we know the men were not righteous. They were the leaders. They were ruling the people. We've been reading about this. But somewhere along the line, somebody perverted something because they're spiritually discerned. They can only read what the words in English say, and they can't get it because the Father ain't dealing with them. And that's what the word says. They're spiritually discerned. Who has told you to come tread my courts? Who told you to tell these many prayers? Who told you? And people are just not putting together who these scribes and Pharisees are. They have a different spirit. They're not pleasing to the Father. Their message. They tell you that if you don't like the word, you just don't like the Father. I don't have nothing to do with you, these guys who teach you this. But in all reality, they don't know the Father. They're spiritually discerned. They're teaching damnable doctrines. They're leading the children of Israel. They're making them more devils than themselves. They're making these women go out and basically lease themselves out to a man who has two or three other wives.
Right.
They're making these women try to do things that the Father ain't worried about if you can properly give a blowjob. The Father's not worried about that mess. You got women doing all kind of crazy stuff trying to please a man. And then they tell them, well, if your husband is wrong, if he beat you, if he abused you, if he's drunk, if he's this, if that, you pray for him. Why he beating your behind and your children's. But you can't leave him now. He can leave you. You know, come on, family. That's bondage. That's ignorance. My children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're ignorant if we believe that stuff. We're not reading. We're not studying to show ourselves approved.
There are many groups. There are many groups out here that are in the flesh. I mean, I just didn't realize until I started listening to these shows that you've had on lately. And I just, like I was saying last time we spoke, it's amazing. Because they're all in the flesh. The more I look at it, the more I see everything that they say is about the flesh. Every one of my friends, you know, on Facebook and whatnot, it's all about the flesh. It's like they just completely don't understand, you know, that we are to be in the spirit, you know, and that the law is done away with in a sense to where the Messiah fulfills that law, you know, but They just don't get it.
Well, another thing that you need to really watch out for is some people out there, and I'm going to take another call in 1 second because I see more hands up, but I've heard them even go so far as to tell you when they talk about the Father is going to have a remnant, he's going to preserve a seed, and they tell you it's the men's private, you know, parts that, you know, produce the children. No, the seed is a set-apart spirit. Remember, all you got to go back for confirmation, because if you try to look it up in the Word, you're going to be lost. Because that's why the Father had to give us a set-apart spirit. Even when you go look things up in a strong concordance, it's not going to be there. They won't link the proper precepts for you. You just got to know the Word to precept this, and that's through the set-apart spirit. But they will go tell you, it's the man's seed, the man. It ain't nothing about no man. He don't put the man over the woman over the man. He don't do that. But man does. Through lust, all these things we read about. Now, when you get to the understanding that the parable of the wheat and tares, and as well as Genesis chapter, 3, it tells you, he said, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. He was speaking to the serpent, which is the devil, according to Revelations and so forth, that old dragon. But there's enmity between two seeds. The seed is a spirit. When you go to the parable of the wheat and tares, it tells you, while the Men slept, which are your Hebrews. While they slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed. That seed is a different spirit. And then he went his way. The Most High said, let them grow together. Let them grow together. Yeah. Parable of the wheat and tares. It's a spirit that he planted. Something wicked. So, you see, family, you got to get out this flesh thinking. And really, I caution you. If you go to someone who is teaching any of the mess that Paul was rebuking, as well as what we're telling you, these things are not of the flesh that you're reading. A lot of things were spiritual. Because the world was going to teach you a message. That's how you can discern. Because how are you going to say this? You don't have the people right, and you got prophecy. Or it's from the other nations. Or if you're a Hebrew, how is it that you're going to say that the seed, and talk about your outputtings? And that's what the father looking at. He ain't looking. Yeah, he talked about the men wasting their seed and how he killed the man for that stuff. But that's not what he preserved. He don't care about the man's private stuff. No, it's about a spiritual thing. The seed preserved is the set apart spirit. The call he called. A remnant is someone who is called. You can't be called unless you have the set apart spirit. You got to have the truth. You got to want to follow the father. Now, family, hold on a second. I want to bring on a sister who has been waiting. I think I know who this is. Maybe not a sister. Hold on. Let me see. I'm leaving y'all all open. Area code 303, Shalom.
Hi, Sister Georgia. This is Sister Diane. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Sister Diane. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Sister Cookie, thanks for reading. And those words can trip you up, so don't even worry about it. Don't even sweat it. I just wanted to say I've listened to the last couple tour shows, and they're right on point. I'm hoping that you're going to bring additional, because I know you got more material out there. The seed is so important. It's funny, when I talk to a lot of friends and family, and we're talking about the seed and we're talking about the spirit, some of them who are in mixed marriages in terms of nationality, they are really worried and concerned that their spouse or what have you is not going to be accepted. And the only thing that I typically tell them is that, well, from what my understanding is that they will not get the kingdom, but if they do the laws and commandments, if they sojourn with the Hebrews, I don't know what Most High will do for them, but there will be some sort of salvation for them. Because some of these people are, like, terrified when you tell them and explain to them the truth. And what I find out is that the people who are not Hebrew are far more accepting of it than the Hebrews. And it happens to be some of the women who are with these black men, they're rushing home and telling their husbands these deals. And they're like, what kind of cult are you listening to? What is going on? And I'm like, I'm not really sure how to combat that, but I just told the women just to pray on it. I know there was somewhere we read in past broadcasts that you've done about the woman being able to be saved through the husband and vice versa. And so
that was the unbelieving wife.
Information.
Huh? Yeah, that was an unbelieving
yeah.
wife. Now, what you said was true. They don't get the kingdom, but they will get the service. Now, as far as the children, that's different for the children, though, because they make the children righteous, even though a lot of people still don't get this, because you got to remember, when you go through Scripture, you might have two Hebrews. They'll produce one that's a Hebrew, one that's not. Mm-hmm. One that is called. It has nothing to do with the outer. It really has nothing to do with the outer when it comes to, I know that our people right now, we're so mixed up it's not funny, because half of us think we're pure and none of us are pure.
That's
when
right.
We say we're righteous, we dark, we pitch black, we blue black. And we got the nappiest of nappy hair, so we know we Hebrew. That don't mean nothing.
No.
If you don't have that set apart spirit, you just let me alone. I was gonna say
I do, and I tell that too. I explain, like, not all Israel is of Israel. I mean, you got to know it's really about that spirit. And when you did that one show about the spirit, and there at the end of the show, I remember there was not really a lot of controversy, but there was a lot of challenging questions. You know, because they're like, okay, well, what about the laws, and what about eating pork, and what about this? And you're really trying to focus on the spirit, get out of the flesh, really think spiritual. And I think but one message that brought it home for me was when you did the show The Rock. I think it was called The Rock or something like that. And you were talking about how Yahushua was there in the beginning and really was also the foundation that helped Moses and them cross the Dead Sea or whatever it is. And
oh,
you were saying that they were following that spirit of Yahushua. And reading the books of Adam and Eve, I can see where not only was Adam and Eve pleading with Yahuwah, they were also talking to Yahushua in some of them passages.
Well, you know, sister, you're talking to, well, we're going to go. I think that's where we're going next. Let me see, did I read that already? Let me look at my notes. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that yet. We're going to go through John 1. That's going to really bring it back to home because it tells you in the beginning was the Word. The Word is Yahushua. And the Word, Yahushua, was with Yahuwah. And the Word was Yahushua. The same was in the beginning with Yahuwah. And then I was going to get into it with you guys because I know that when I tell you, well, you could say Yahushua or Yahuwah, because in another part in the Old Covenant, it tells you. It says that Yahuwah is our Savior. Then the next verse down, it tells you Yahushua is our Savior.
Yep.
You know, so people, they don't understand that he came, the word in English says God came in the flesh. But he was that spirit that was with his Father. Not that he is his Father, but if he comes in his Father's name to do his Father's will, it's just like the Father being there.
Yes.
You know, so Yahushua was in the beginning. He was that Melchizedek. He was, you know, when we go
before
I went to the Old Covenant to read, there's prophecies of Yahushua. There's prophecies of how he's going to come and how he overrides, he supersedes everything of the flesh. Everything was a foreshadow of him coming. People don't understand that baptism, well, we're going to hit it, but not today. I plan on going over it today, but we don't have enough time. I want to take my time with the scriptures and make sure, like, just these little questions can be solved just by reading it. Let's read it and see what the Word says, because too many people are teaching of the flesh. So we will go there. We didn't have time today, family, but actually, I wanted to go over, let's see, yeah, I didn't go over quite a bit. Next place we're going to go to, if y'all want to go ahead of time, because it said that we robbed Yahuwah of tithes and offerings, I was going to take you guys to Hebrews 7. I'm not going to do that today, but that's where we're going to pick up next lesson. And I got more, then I'm going to go more into the new covenant. So, like I said, I'm going to see what Sister Cookie's, how her day is and how her plans are, and then go around my grandson's schedule, and I'm going to try, if she can read for me, I'll try to go ahead and have the next show tomorrow night, because ain't no way I can get all this done. I mean, there's so much that needs to be cleared up. There's a lot of mess out there.
Sure
there's a lot of mess.
And one more thing, Sister Georgia, I was going to just say one more thing. If I know that I emailed you about the 1,000 days and all that, because that keeps coming up. That keeps coming up about Yahushua unleashing Satan for another time, for 1,000 years, for him to do like a re-cleansing. And that just really set, you know, bad with me. Like, that doesn't make sense. If he's coming, it says he's coming, and that's it. His kingdom is here. So I don't understand the re-cleansing, and so I don't know. Maybe one day if you have the time to do a show on that, because I know that comes up a lot in the churches. You did?
I did it. Because every time you see 1,000 years, remember the scripture that says one day for the Father is like 1,000 years for man. So every time in scripture, the world, when they see that, they're going to say, oh, yes, Satan going to be released for 1,000 years. Or when they say the day of Yahushua. Well, the day of Yahushua, you could say 1,000 years for man, or you could say a day for Yahushua. You see what I'm saying? People are taking, they're reading from the flesh. And if they don't go with the precepts and the understanding, that's why Hebrews are supposed to teach. Because through the set apart spirit, the Father revealed that to me while I was reading it. I said, oh, wait a minute, y'all, hold up. Because I had wondered about that millennium crap myself. I said, millennium? I didn't get it. So as I was reading, the Father told me, he said 1,000 years is one day for the Most High. I said, oh, wait a minute, y'all, let's look at this. You know, and I pointed it out there. But, yeah, We're going to go through all of this stuff again, but yeah, just know that 1,000 years for man is like a day for the Father. So when they say the day of Yahushua, okay, the day of Yahushua, well, it depends. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how it's being used. But 9 times out of 10, they're still speaking of this 1,000 years. And then other times they'll say, well, it'll be 1,000 years. They're talking about one day. One day all this stuff's going to happen. And when I say one day, I mean a day. A day.
Yeah, that's
a 24-hour period.
That's 2 Peter 3:8 about 1,000 years is one day with the Father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See,
mm-hmm.
It's in the scripture, but for some reason through Christianity we've all learned the millennium. That's a word that they love to use. A millennium is 1,000 years. So no, there's no 1,000 years. It's one day.
Mm-mm.
But
yeah.
As we go through the lessons, we're going to hit some of these things up because I do have them in my notes already. I told Sister Cookie, I said, shoot, we got lots to read, Sister Cookie. And I just didn't want to read it and rush through it. That's why I knew it would take me time because most people, when they teach, they just read you something and you're supposed to accept it. Well, no, let's read it and let's look at it. Let's look at what he's saying. And if we really take time to... There's a lot of, especially when you get to the New Covenant, I find there's a lot of things that, what are you talking about there? I don't get that. When they talk about if faith come by work and work come by this and this, if you don't understand the basis of it and if you're not spiritually understanding what the Father's saying, you're going to go say something really wicked and wacky and teach the people. But, you know, a lot of the word defines the word, but they won't give you the precepts. I find that when I look in my... my scriptures at home, yeah, I ain't going to find no precepts. The precepts they give you in the scriptures, in the Bible,
yeah,
those
not
are not the proper precepts.
Mm-mm.
So I got to let the Father lead me, or I'll be just as I'll be blind leading the blind. And
mm-hmm.
That's where we're at right now. We're trying to break those strongholds, those lies, you know, and bring the mm-hmm. truth, bring the word, bring Yahushua in the equation. Because no one is getting saved by themselves unless Yahushua. There's no prayer going to the Father but through Yahushua. You know, he didn't do a Passover or anything else for anybody to be. That was a one-time deal.
Mm-hmm.
He was that sacrificial lamb.
Well, let the Catholic say it, make
sin.
Your way into heaven after you die and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll go to Georgia.
Uh-huh.
I had a question about what the sister had brought up when she first came on. I have run across a verse in Deuteronomy 23:2 where it says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yahuwah, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahuwah." And I went to the concordance and I looked up the word bastard, and that's a mixed population, I guess you could say.
Where are you at? Deuteronomy 23, what?
Deuteronomy 23:2.
Okay, let's go there.
It says, "A bastard not enter into the congregation of Yahuwah, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahuwah." And then I found other precepts like Wisdom of Solomon 4:6. That says children of an unlawful union are witnesses to the parents' wickedness. And so I was just wondering about these mixed children with heathen mothers or fathers, because in the concordance it says with a Hebrew father or a heathen mother and vice versa, because they keep going talking about how you are with fathers. Uh-huh.
There's many meanings for that word, and what I will tell you, excuse me, there's many meanings for that word. Don't think so quick to say what, and see, they're not going to give you the full truth in the word. And when you go, not in the word, in the Strong Concordance, if you try to figure out what this is talking about, you're going to go, I tell everybody, go look at root word etymology for Hebrews 44:64, which is bastard. It says, from an unused root meaning to alienate. Okay. It's going to tell you bastard, child of incest. Okay? Incest is two parents of the same, you know, that's two cousins, two brothers. There's a lot of meanings for that word. Illegitimate child, bastard, mixed population, figuratively. Okay? Still talking about the Hebrews. This is born of a Jewish father, which we know is Hebrew, and a heathen mother, or vice versa. Okay, mixed multiple, it's the same thing. When you go to the, let's just go there, the genus lexicon help, it says, spurious, a bastard, Deuteronomy 23:3. It says, let's see, and so also the Oriental interpreters, as well as the rabbinists who were the word bastard. For, you see, you got to really look at this. It says a foreigner. It says a foreigner. Foreign nations are often compared to harlots. And you see, that we know that Israel was many times compared to harlots because of what we did. See what I'm saying? You don't go by this and think that you're going to get all the truth. Let the Father lead you to what he's talking about. And I really don't believe he's talking about that, sister. Okay, it says inspired prophets. It says the unused Hebrew root probably had the same meaning as to separate, but used in a bad sense to despise, to contend. Contemn? I don't know what that word is. You know what? I would have to say that we're going to have to look some other places in the scripture because you're not going to find about the precepts they give you. Don't always bank on the precepts they give you. Don't always bank on the definition they give you because they'll tell you that Edom is red and ruddy and that's the white man. That's what Adam was and that's what this was and that's what that was. And, you know, they're going to give you all. You got to really dig. And when you dig, allow the Father's set apart spirit to lead you because you're not supposed to know the truth about this. And it's to keep you in confusion. When the Father's word will clearly define it. But I have not looked into that to go into deep, deep. But I don't think that sounds right because we're dealing with spiritual now. And we know that it doesn't matter. And the only reason I said it doesn't matter, when you go back to the Old Covenant, we know that even King Solomon took strange wives. And you see, this thing about the mixing has always been in Israel. It has always been in Israel. The men were taking these strange wives left and right. Go to the book of Judges chapter, 2 or 3, it tells you the same thing. The first thing the men did was take the strange wives and give their daughters to the other nations. So we're all mixed up is what I'm saying right now. But it's through the set-apart spirit. So you can't put it on some of the flesh. We know that the word bastard in today's world means there's no father. So you see what I'm saying? Spiritually, if we're going to take this spiritually, we're saying that if our Father is not your Father, and we're not talking about an earthly Father, we're talking about a heavenly Father. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If we know the English word for bastard basically said you don't have a father. Your parents weren't married. You were a bastard born out of wedlock. Well, we take it to the spiritual understanding. My better bet would be that. That you are idolatrous, you are fornicating, you are, that's what it's speaking of. It's speaking of someone who, our Heavenly Father Yahuwah is not their father. That's what it's speaking of. That's a bastard. But don't quote me on it.
But don't when you come together as one, you're married in a sense? Isn't that what the intention was with the creation? Right. So how can you be a bastard?
Yeah, but that's why I was also wondering about that wisdom of Solomon 4:6 when he says, you know, children born of an unlawful union, which would be a heathen and a Hebrew, are just witnesses to their parents' wickedness. And so that's what I kind of precept with that and some other precepts. But like how you were saying, how we're all mixed and this and that, like when you go to Deuteronomy 23:8, it talks about the children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of Yahuwah in their third generation. That's after you've been mixed. That's after you have mixed out the heathen, so to say, your third generation. Like if I'm a Hebrew and I got with a heathen and we had a child and that child got with a Hebrew and had a child and that child got with a Hebrew, that would be a third generation Hebrew. Able to come back into the congregation of Yahuwah.
Yeah, but where did you get that from, sister? That's Old Covenant, right?
Deuteronomy 3:8.
Yeah, you're dealing with the Torah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was all this about? What we were doing? What's the lesson about?
Right.
You got to bring things spiritual. And a lot of things, we're not stoning anybody if they do a little bit, like your child spills some water or something on the floor, you